Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Today is Tuesday, October 30th, 2018. Late here on a Tuesday night on the East Coast. SmackDown is going on as we speak. So this show obviously won't be about SmackDown, but it will be a little bit of Monday Night Raw. I'll touch on Monday Night Raw from last night. And I want to talk about two things mainly, and that is Crown Jewel, the unspoken, heavily booed, and I would dare say regretful show that WWE is going to be putting on this Friday at noon. Yeah, so while the majority of us are working, WWE will be doing this pay-per-view live from where? I don't know. If you ask WWE, I don't think they would know either, because they have no interest in promoting exactly where this show is going to be emanating from. And, you know, rightfully so, after the complete mess that is WWE Crown Jewel and the dark cloud that's going to forever hang over this pay-per-view. So I'm going to talk about that. And, of course, I really want to get into WWE Evolution, because I thought it was one of the best pay-per-views of the year, period. To me, it wasn't about making history. It wasn't about suddenly women and girls that had no hope in their lives before WWE created this pay-per-view and allowed it to be an all-women's pay-per-view, first ever, that they were just lost, and now they feel they can do anything, according to Stephanie McMahon. So I'm going to get into all of that gag-inducing verbiage coming from WWE management, but again, welcome to the WWE Podcast. This is the internet's most passionate wrestling analysis. I don't just, you know, say that because it's a catchy slogan or tagline. It is. I really believe it is, because there are lots of shows out there, tons of shows out there, so many that it's mind-boggling. If you just do a search of WWE in any podcast app you have, you're going to come up with a slew of options, some better than others. I'm not going to rag on anybody's podcast. I do this because I love it, and I know other people do it because they love it. But I feel that I bring in a genuine passion to a platform that I think desperately needs it, where there's a lot of back and forth banter on things that don't relate to what you clicked on the show for in the first place, right? So that's what this show is about. It's about true passion. I've been a fan for over 20 years, and before I get to my wrestling analysis, guys, a couple quick things. First, follow me on Twitter. It's at the WWE Podcast. And if you haven't already, please rate and review me on iTunes, which is now known as Apple Podcasts, and Google Play, and Spotify, and Spreaker, and wherever the heck you may have a podcast app on your phone. That's where you can find me. And please give a rate and review if you have a few moments. Item number two, and then we're going to get to the wrestling analysis, is that in the very near future, I'm going to be creating a new platform. And this will be a platform that is meant to bring you guys more content. It is meant to engage you guys and give you more of what you're looking for, and that is wrestling talk. And that is hopefully going straight from your ears to your brain and making you smile, making you laugh, making you angry, making you hate me, whatever it may be. As WWE says, as long as I get a reaction, it doesn't matter what that reaction is, I just need a reaction. All that mind just garble. That's gargle. Is that a word? It's really just what I meant to say, because that's not a word, is brainwash. All that brainwashing nonsense that WWE likes to just inject into all of their talent, that any reaction's a good reaction, I'm going to just pass that on to you, because I've been poisoned by that ideology. So it's a new platform. And there are membership tiers. And in those membership tiers, it is a paid platform. However, before you guys say, oh my God, he's looking for my money, these shows that are 100% free are going to remain 100% free. But there will be options on these membership tiers where you guys can take the ads away. You can get additional podcasts that you are not going to hear anywhere else but on this particular platform, which I will get to in probably sometime this week. You'll be able to come on the show. You'll be able to tell me what particular topic you want me to talk about and only talk about. I can do kind of a deep dive, if you will, into just a singular topic about WWE. It's funny, when I put this platform out there and I have this particular tier about telling me what topic to talk about on the show, I said in parentheses, WWE topic, because I don't want to have to talk about anything, right? Like, this is a wrestling show. So I want to keep it a wrestling show, but those are the options that are coming down the line, and I'm really excited about it because, number one, I mean, let's be totally transparent here. I'm looking for a way to monetize my show. I mean, there's no question about it. I think anybody in the podcasting industry is looking to not just do this for a living and not just do this for a love of labor or a labor of love, but find a way to monetize it, right? Like, of course, anybody that says otherwise is just flat out lying. And so that is, of course, a priority of mine. However, I don't just do this just for that. I mean, I've been doing this for years. Before this show was Matt's Madness, this is now the WWE Podcast. And so this show has been on the air for your listening pleasure, not viewing, listening pleasure. For, oh my gosh, I actually started embarrassingly back in 2013, 2014, and some of the shows are just downright awful. But you get better with age, right? It's like a fine wine. You continue to improve, and I think I'm at the point now where I have some experience under my belt. I know half-heartedly what the hell I'm doing, and I'd like to pass that on to you guys. And again, if none of this interests you, and that's cool too, but if you want to continue listening to my free shows, hey, I'm all for it. I really do appreciate even those of you who have no interest in it and want to continue to listen to me on the free stream. Totally cool. You don't have to change anything that you do. Nothing. Zero. But those of you who may be interested in more content, more shows, getting on the show, talking to me, telling me what you'd like to listen to, specifically, questions you want to ask me, that's where this new platform will come into play, and an announcement will be coming later this week. So, with all of that out of the way, there is some breaking news when it comes to John Cena. And guys, the breaking news, John Cena officially out of WWE Crown Jewel. Pretty much to the surprise of nobody, unless you haven't been reading the latest possible news coming out of the disaster that is Crown Jewel. Just got a little bit more disastrous as John Cena officially pulls himself out of WWE Crown Jewel, emanating from Saudi Arabia, as WWE would probably want me to present it in a whisper. And this is, it's news, but it's not. And the reason I say it's not is because, is it really anything that WWE is going to retaliate against John Cena for? No. Did anybody get caught off guard by this? Most people probably didn't, as the rumors were circulating, and as Daniel Bryan was as well, and we'll find out. And you probably already know, listening to my voice now, if Daniel Bryan has pulled himself out of Crown Jewel or not. Obviously, on Raw, Corbin said that John Cena hasn't earned it, and he's not here, and that Bobby Lashley's done more to earn it. And they put Bobby Lashley in as a replacement. So they did what they did, could do, and had a quick explanation, and that's what you'd expect and what I would do as well. John Cena not being there isn't going to make or break the show. And, clearly this also says another thing, that John Cena is bigger than WWE, that John Cena doesn't need WWE at this point in his career. And that speaks volumes, because I'm sure that there's talent sitting in that locker room right now that wishes that they could do what John Cena is doing because of the despicable act that happened and the whole controversy going around the death of the journalist. And I'm sure there are people sitting there who are living vicariously through what John Cena is doing, but John Cena is bigger than WWE. And I know WWE would may or may not admit that, but he is. He's at that stage of his career now where he's in the later days of WWE, he's kind of looking at the wrestling industry as a hobby and kind of a side hustle at this point. He's got a billion other projects he's doing, and this is not going to hurt him one bit. He knows he has more leverage than the company can really, try to pretend that they have over him, and they don't. They're independent contractors, although I don't think many may view themselves as that, you know, for fear of losing their jobs if they did not attend Crown Jewel. But nonetheless, the point is that John Cena is out. Bobby Lashley's in for the WWE World Cup tournament. And now we have the brackets that are set up. And not that I expected John Cena to win. I didn't. But this, to me, is just the bigger story is the fact of John Cena just stepping aside when it comes to the WWE and really just standing up, I think, to WWE when it comes to their decision to go to Saudi Arabia and his decision not to. I mean, that just speaks volumes to the internal conflict this is creating within the company. This is not just the society and news and media and other organizations ripping and taking shots at WWE, but there's internal conflict going on between management, between talent, and John Cena, with the level he's at, clearly doesn't need to take any direction from WWE when it comes to this. I'm sure he wanted to perform, but his morals, his future and his projects that he's doing clearly outweigh, and his morals clearly outweigh what WWE has decided to do in going forth with this show in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. And I think that, again, it speaks volumes. So I'm repeating myself. Let's move on. But there could be more news coming out of SmackDown, and there may already be news that Daniel Bryan has been replaced or they're coming up with some storyline. And that very well may be the case, too. So just wanted to toss that out there. Now let's get to WWE Evolution. And I, you know, this show not just exceeded my expectations, but reinvigorated my love for wrestling as a genre of entertainment. I was just, I was blown away by the match quality, and not just one or two matches. I'm talking about 90% of the card. There were no matches that you could sleep on, and even ones you didn't expect to exceed expectations or thought would be kind of a concession stand type of match were not. It was a very compelling, very well done, awesome show, top to bottom. I give this show an A. I would say it was absolutely perfect. That's very difficult to do, you know. But I think that it was one of the best shows, if not the best pay-per-view of 2018. I really believe that. And maybe even you could argue this is one of the best pay-per-views in years. And here's the thing, though. I know some people may disagree, or some people may agree. But the thing you have to keep in mind is we just went through this pay-per-view, right? So what's more fresh in your mind is what you have the most emotion about. But I've been through so many hundreds and hundreds of WWE pay-per-views, and I know one that is a turning point in WWE. I can spot one and smell one when it's one that is going to live in WWE lore, and there will be documentaries about and interviews and news media reports and things that will just define moments that turn the culture of WWE on a dime, and this was one of them. And I don't think I'm overstating it. This was, and Stephanie, and I'll get to one thing in the 10%. I said 90% was good. I'll get to the 10% I didn't like, which if you follow my Twitter feed, you know what I'm talking about. But this was one of the things that, and we kept hearing, oh, it's historic, blah, blah, all that. But it was. I think it would have been more historic if we didn't keep getting told it's historic, but that's neither here nor there. But it was, again, just, I really can't say enough about it. Every single woman on the card laid it on the line, from the newbies, NXT, to the legends, everybody. I mean, it was awesome to see. It was sad that Chyna couldn't be there. I think she would have been an awesome addition to the show. So that was a bit of a downer. I did think about Chyna being a part of the show. Obviously impossible, but, you know, in my fantasy booking environment, I did think about that how cool would that be to see Chyna out there and just, come face-to-face with Nia Jax, or face-to-face with, I don't know, whoever in the Battle Royal. She would have been a perfect entrant. So I'm just going to run down, some of the things, and I'll give you the match of the night that I thought. And before I do that, I just want to talk about the 10%, and then I'm going to get to all the positive stuff, all right? So I got to get this off my chest. This is where the passion comes in me, folks. This is not fabricated. This is not something I just do just to get clicks, ratings, and reviews, and whatever, draw attention. This is real. So the 10% that bothered me were not even the matches. Nothing about any of the matches really made me feel down or brought the show down, which is incredible when you think about it. There's always a match that you just can sleep on, or you're not interested in, or what have you. So the 10% wasn't even anything to do with the matches. It was the extracurricular garbage. And what I mean by that is the constant interviews. The constant. Oh, and the balls that WWE had to advertise Crown Jewel in the middle of the show. That was ballsy by WWE. And the hilarity that when Michael Cole did his part about talking about Crown Jewel, it got booed. But the constant interviews about history being made, the constant what it means, and my children suddenly have a future, all the gag-inducing garbage, as I put it, that took away from me. And I guess that's me just being a cynical SOB. I don't know. And the worst part, the most frustrating part to me, that I don't hear anyone talking about, maybe because everyone's so desensitized, not this guy, was the fact of every one of the women, all of them, count them all, and Stephanie and Triple H, who had to make themselves front and center at the end of the show, clapping for Ronda and Nikki, really just celebrating the night. I know that they were clapping for Nikki and for Ronda Rousey, who retained the WWE Raw Women's Championship, but it was more of just a celebration of the night, right? It, to me, and I tweeted this out, I stand by it, I don't change an inch from it, is this felt like the curtain call for a high school musical. Why does WWE insist on doing this? You can tell me kayfabe's dead. That doesn't mean it's right. It may be dead, but WWE on a weekly basis continues to kick that dead horse. Make sure it's dead. Just keep kicking it. And when there's maybe a little bit of life and that horse just kind of lifts its neck up, they make sure to stomp on its neck and finish the job every single time. When you have that little bit of emotional engagement, they like to make sure that you know what we're doing isn't real and it's all about history. It's not, everything that you just saw was fake. We want to remind you of that. And you can say, well, this is about women making history. It's about celebrating the night. Do it behind the scenes. You don't just totally undermine everything you just did for the last 3 hours and bust your ass and then have every single person who was in that show standing on stage acting like it's the best thing that they've ever seen, ever done, and everything you've just seen we're going to sacrifice because we want to make sure that everybody knows this isn't real and that we celebrate women instead of caring about the damn show and getting people emotionally invested in storylines. Because, that didn't allow WWE to rise to the success that it has, in the 90s, in the 2000s. That had nothing to do with it, right? And some people said to me on Twitter, oh, well, do you see the same thing when they, TV credits roll at the end of a TV show or movie? Number one, who the hell pays attention to those? Number two, it's not the actors and actresses coming out and talking about, oh, wasn't it great when, at the end of the movie, when, I was able to finally kill you? Wasn't it great when I, the protagonist, was able to prevail against you, the antagonist, during the show? And let's celebrate and shake hands. Do you see footage at the end of a for example, that somebody brought up on Twitter, a Game of Thrones TV show? Love that show, by the way. At the end of the show, do you see the actors and actresses that are fighting and trying to kill each other in the show, hugging and kissing and laughing and posting things on Twitter and Instagram about how great everything is and how we're going to make history about popping a huge rating on our TV show? So there goes your argument, okay? Out the window. I just don't understand. People who tell me that nonsense clearly have been wrestling fans for probably as long as I've been doing this podcast. Just this show. Like the last 45 minutes. Or excuse me, well, 20 minutes. That's how long they've probably been a wrestling fan. Or they don't understand the psychology of what makes a great storyline. They had such a strong outing, such a strong show from top to bottom, soup to nuts, pillar to post, any analogy you want to use. And then you have this, really? They couldn't have just cut the cameras off. Couldn't cut the cameras off. They had to make sure they get that nice shot of all the women on stage for a High School Musical finale. Come on. And then you got these yo-yos on Twitter yelling at me saying, get your pacifier. Okay, well, it's number one, probably past your bedtime. You should probably get off your mom's iPad and understand what makes wrestling wrestling and what makes any show work, okay? And I stand by that 300%. So that's what I have to say about that. So let's talk about all the awesome stuff. I got the 10% nonsense off of me. The awesome stuff, guys. And we had the Trish Stratus and Lita versus Mickey James and Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox, obviously a late substitute for the injured Alexa Bliss, who I'm sure was crushed that she couldn't participate, but she was out there. I did call that Trish and Lita would make this match or win this match, and they did, because there's no sense in Mickey and Alicia winning. They're not the future of anything in the women's division. They're just not. That's just the way it is. So it was a feel-good, nostalgic Lita and Trish moment. I don't think either one blew it away in the ring, but I think for the length of time that they've both been absent from in-ring work, it was a great match. Better than I expected. Yes, Alicia Fox missed the breakup of a pin. Whatever. That didn't really hurt anything for me. It was noticeable and a little bit distracting that the referee, stopped at 2 3/4 and did not hit the 3 count when he could have. However, good match, great way to start and set the tone for the show. Then we had Nia Jax winning the Women's Battle Royal. So she earns a future Women's Championship match. I think the right move. I know people thought that Ember Moon may be the one to win, and she came damn close. I think with Nia winning, to be honest, even though Nia won, I think this was more about the elevation of Ember Moon. She had her moment in the sun to shine. She elevated herself on a big stage in front of a hot crowd, which, by the way, I have to give really mad props. Is that still a thing? Is that still a phrase? I don't know why I said that. I have to applaud. I guess that's a more 2018 phrase. To the audience in Long Island. I really do. They were hot from start to finish, and it's amazing how a crowd can add or take away from a presentation. But they were hot all night, and they were hot for this battle royal. I thought it was well done, well staged. You had the Iconics come out, run their mouth, get immediately tossed. Then you had the Legends get surrounded by the current female stars, and people may say that's hokey, but it's a cool moment, how you slice it. I mean, it's the past versus the present. I get the whole analogy. I understand what they were doing with the dynamic there. I was cool with it. To see all of those women in the same ring at the same time, I thought it was very well done, well staged. And it was, I think, the right choice with Nia Jax winning. This gives Ember Moon something to strive for, gives her time to develop even further, get some mic work underneath her, especially for those who didn't see her in NXT. And for those that did watch NXT, you had the nice little touch of NXT flair when you had Asuka go up against Ember Moon and Ember Moon eliminating her. And so that was a cool moment. So I don't think this hurt Ember Moon in the least. To the contrary, I think this elevated her 2 to 3 notches. I really, really do. So Toni Storm defeating Io Shirai, loved it. This, to me, I know that some people said that, maybe it was a little too short or whatever. I loved it. Toni Storm, and I'll be honest, this is the first time that I've seen a full match from her. I don't watch a whole lot of outside SmackDown and Raw simply because I don't have the time. Newborns will do that to you, folks. Newborn babies, I just, it's amazing how little time I have. But I'm carving out time for this and for a lot more stuff. So as I said, stay tuned. But Toni Storm defeating her, and it was a great match. To me, that was a match that I actually sat there and was like, holy crap. Like, I was engaged from start to finish. The psychology, yes, the moves, just the really polished performers that they both are, it was awesome. I loved it. Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya versus the Riot Squad. And while most people kind of poo-pooed this match and wasn't really looking forward to it as much as probably the other ones, this is an example of over-deliverance. All six of these women, I think, put on a more than what most people expected. I liked it. I thought it was a very well-done match. And the tease of Sasha and Bayley, maybe, are they going to break up? They're going to stay together? That kind of thing. I'm glad that they didn't go with that, 50th turn that convoluted, just at the point of exhaustion. I don't care where they go. That's really where they reached the point of for me. But I'm glad they stayed together and they defeated the Riot Squad, who really should not hang their head. I think that the Riot Squad has a very bright future. And I don't just say that because they're young. I say that because I see potential. Particularly Ruby Riot, the other ones maybe not. I think Ruby is the standout performer in that trio. I mean, it's named after her, right? So, Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane, another just off the rails match. These are the matches that I as a wrestling fan never thought I would be able to see on this level, not NXT. NXT is a different environment. I'm saying on a WWE pay-per-view, see this at this level and be this engaged in a women's match. I really didn't. Amazing. Shayna Baszler defeating Kairi Sane. Obviously, Shayna Baszler had her buddy help her win this match. I think Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey would be a hell of a combo. Shayna Baszler is not one of the prettiest women on the roster, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but they don't all have to be supermodels. That doesn't do it for me, okay? I'm looking for real, engaging, believable, and Shayna Baszler brings all three to me. So I think that this is going to be, when it happens, Shayna and Ronda could be a hell of a confrontation. So then the top two matches here. And to me, this is the match of the night. And I know that this is kind of kind of piling on what most people are saying, but I really think so too, that this Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair last woman standing match was, I wouldn't say 5 out of 5 stars. I'd say 4.5 out of 5 for what this could have been and what it was. Physical as hell. It was just brutal. And I tweeted this out. I said, I was waiting for the referee because he kept going over, I believe it was Mike Chioda, and going over to Becky and Charlotte at multiple times. And, making sure that they're squeezing his hand. That's obviously the universal sign. If they squeeze his hand, they're fine, And I kept waiting for him to put up the X that one of them is injured. I'm sure the next morning when they woke up, they probably would have put the X sign up if they could have. Like, I'm sure that they felt it, and I don't know how you couldn't have. Both women put in a hell of an effort. Did the referee slow count the 10 count sometimes, or stop at 9 because it wasn't the finish of the match? Maybe. I mean, sometimes it was a little bit distracting. You know, when Charlotte was buried under all those chairs and things, and she stood up like, you know, a monster being resurrected from the depths. That was, I mean, it was a cool visual. I know what she was going for purposely, but it worked for me. It was cool. You know, you don't see that too often. Clearly the crowd behind Becky 100%. I don't think that's going anywhere. I really don't. Even if Becky changes opponents, I don't know what WWE is going to be able to do this at this point, especially given that Becky won fair and square. There was no funny business. There was nothing. It was Becky being a badass. And Becky beat Charlotte fair and square. So I thought it was good. Not good. Great. Physical. The power bomb off the apron, onto the floor, through the table. Man, some of the guys wouldn't want to take that bump. So these women left nothing. They didn't hold anything back. Everything that they had was left inside of that 20x20 ring at Evolution. And this is going to be one of those best matches of 2018 when they do the Slammies or whatever at the end of the year. It's going to be on that list for sure. It was amazing. And I think took both women to the next level. Raw, by the way, I agree with the decision to keep the belt on Becky. So, good job, WWE. Good job. Raw Women's Championship. Ronda Rousey, Nikki Bella. Did anybody really believe that Nikki Bella was going to win this? No, nobody did. I don't think anybody did. However, more importantly, it wasn't really who was going to win. It was how are they going to get there? I think this is probably a little bit longer than it needed to be. A little bit longer as far as the, you know, the length. It probably could have shaved off 5, 6, 7 minutes. But for Ronda Rousey to be able to put on that length of a match for how long she's been with WWE is telling. And it's telling to her talent to be able to pick up what she's done in such a short amount of time and put on the length of time, be able to hit her spots, be able to understand ring psychology, timing, all of this is really amazing. And really credit to Nikki Bella too. You know, I shame the Bellas and knock them for being the leftovers from the Divas era in a women's world, but they have both done their job very well. They're annoying, obnoxious, real. I hope the Bellas don't go anywhere. I like seeing people kick their ass, and that's a good thing. That's not a knock. Like, I may knock them, but they're doing such a good job of being divas and being cheating heels that are just, they feel out of place, but they still do a great job at doing that. So it's kind of a weird dynamic. I like them being where they're at. I like Nikki or Brie trying to help Nikki, and Nikki clearly the stronger of the two wrestlers inside the ring performers. Sorry, Vince, performers. I think that Nikki is the right choice here to try to go against Rousey. It's a little more believable. And so props to both women. And it was an awesome show, again, top to bottom. I don't want to say I'm at a loss for words. I'm not. But I could have kept watching. I wanted more. And you don't get that a lot with WWE programming. Oftentimes, you feel oversaturated. You feel that it's, oh my God, I've had enough. Oh my God, is this over? Oh my God. I didn't feel like it with this. I could have gone another half hour on this. And will there be a sequel? Absolutely. You better believe that this WWE Evolution, is there a WWE Evolution 2, 3? Are they going to do sequence of numbers like WrestleMania? I don't know. The very first Evolution will not be forgotten. It's a turning point for the women's division. And I think that it's really just, it opens up everything now. I mean, the fact that you could have women main eventing WrestleMania or main eventing just a regular pay-per-view is not something that is laughable anymore at all. It's not something you think is impossible anymore. It is a reality, and I don't think anybody would put up an argument against it if it's warranted and if the match is right. Not just do it just to do it and say it's historic. Make
make the history part of it happen without saying it's history. And how you do that is having a match worthy for the women's division of that main event of WrestleMania. Is it Ronda versus Charlotte? Who knows? I think that's a program coming up. So we'll see. But that's all I have for you guys today. And there will be more to come. As I said, there is going to be a new platform, new membership tiers where you guys can join me on the show. You can request what I will talk about. You can, join me. And this is going to be a fun ride as I get things in place and get the platform rolling. But follow me on Twitter if you want to keep up to date on when this is going to be rolling out, how it's all going to work. Super easy, by the way. It's at the WWE Podcast. So, guys, until then, thank you for joining me, and I'll talk to you next time.